Welcome to this week's Mentor Moment with me, Gary Fox. This week, your mentor is Charlie Butler, the CEO of Bounce Insights. This was one of our most popular episodes of the whole year last year. Here, Charlie teaches us how to find answers to really difficult questions in our business. As founders, we need to make bets, but Charlie teaches us that no bet is beyond interrogation, and the answers we need are in the most unlikely of places. Here's your mentor, Charlie. Going green, becoming more sustainable, it's everywhere, right? Everyone wants to be greener and do their bit to help. But sometimes, for your business, there are more important things to do. It's hard to find the time. Well, take it out of your hands because it's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. They have the time and the experts to sort it for you. And the best bit is, it'll help your business, save you time, money, and energy. Perfect, right? The Green for Business audit will assess your business and tell you where you can make changes. And the new energy efficiency grant will help you pay for those changes. And your local enterprise office will sort the whole process for you. Go to www.allinadayswork.ie/green, fill out the form that takes less than 2 minutes, and your local enterprise office will take it from there. Going green? It's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. Many of you listening to the pod are business owners and savvy investors, but have you been introduced to peer-to-peer lending? Peer-to-peer lending is the practice of lending money directly to other individuals or businesses without the need for a traditional intermediary like a bank. Property Bridges offers you the opportunity to lend directly to experienced home builders across Ireland through their innovative online investment platform. Investors earn returns of up to 9% per annum, and your money is fully secured against property. To learn more, visit propertybridges.com. Property Bridges is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of The Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code FOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code FOX20 and elevate your marketing game today.
Do you approach decision-making then? Because this is a very unique dynamic, so I want to play around with this a little bit. Yep. Co-CEOs, four co-founders, how do you make decisions? How does shit get done?
High performance builds trust. And trust builds good decision making is how I would describe it. We know that we are very good in our individual domains, and that for a person to get in the way of someone's decision making in that domain is terrible for the business. And one thing we've worked on particularly this year is all of our roles have become more defined, because the bigger a company gets, the less hats you wear and the more specific in your domain you get. And I think what we worked on was all four of us owning something, owning a metric, and having complete autonomy to deliver on that. But if you have clarity of goals, you have autonomy in execution, and consistency of empathetic feedback, those three things are the key to trusting people to deliver. And what builds the ability to allow people to make decisions without input, and this was key for me and Ronan, is that Ronan smashes his targets every time. I may not smash my targets because we keep just tripling our revenue targets, as you do in any given business, but Ronan has watched me defy expectation in what I'm able to achieve. So that builds trust in how you make decisions. So would Ronan make different decisions to me, and would I make different decisions to Ronan? Yes. But I would prefer the 80% decision quicker. And what I mean by that is, if we sat in a room and we tried to get to the 100% decision, the business would move too slow for us to grow, the non-linear growth that we're pursuing. And I remember hearing Barack Obama talk about the 51% decision. So he was like, I'm making decisions as the president so often that I need to get to 51%, and then I deliver and I execute and I do not look back. And yes, Barack Obama probably made a load of terrible decisions, and I think it's probably documented that he did. Probably also made a lot of very good decisions. And that's the way you need to think of it. Is it deeply uncomfortable? Yes. Is it terrible when you watch someone make a decision that you think you would have done something differently? Yes. But you have to live with that, and you have to trust the process. And I think that's the type of culture we've tried to build in the whole company. And we try and live it through our actions, not through our words. So Josh, you own that metric. And last quarter, Josh and Brandon had the best quarters they've ever had last quarter. And what did we do 6 months ago? We gave them independent clear goals. We allowed them to deliver on it, and we removed Ronan, who would have been overseeing them, away from it, because Ronan had too much other stuff to focus on. What happens a quarter later? Brandon and Josh have absolutely blown it out of the water. It's amazing, isn't it, when you trust people who are good? So
you make it sound so simple.
It's not simple.
But it's not simple.
5 years of failure, and in my team, I definitely don't have it perfect.
How did you get to this? Because this, as a young startup, like what, you're just dropping so much clarity of knowledge here. How did you get to this? Because this, as a relatively early stage, I know you're not really early stage, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, if your career is going to be 40 or 50 years, like this is early in your career. How have you guys come to this level of understanding and decision-making?
Seeking advice from people who know more than you is probably the most important thing. But actually wanting to listen, I think I mentioned this a few times, is key. I think the way that you take this on is by speaking to people who know about it and then putting it into practice and failing until you get it right. And I know that's probably not the perfect snippet of advice that you can give, but how did we learn? It was a desire to learn. And it was a frustration at why aren't we growing quicker?
Okay.
If you ask me what my biggest frustration is, it's like, why aren't we 5Xing every year? Where is this nonlinear growth? I have tried everything. I have tried to sell to every customer. I've tried every process. I've heard every type of person. You're like frustrated and you want to tear your hair out. But you have to trust it, that you just need to keep knocking, keep listening to people who have more of you. So frustration drives the desire to learn. The desire to learn forces you to meet people who know more than you. And past failures encourage you to listen.
How do you review this to make sure you're on the right track?
Every quarter as a business, we seek the truth through radical doubt. What I mean by that is we sit down every quarter for 3 days away from the office. And we only started this about, I think, Q3 of last year, where myself and Ronan and now Rob Kiley has joined us, and other advisors that we trust deeply, like Ian Kiernan, like Gareth Lamb, and like our chairperson, Stuart Heron. We'll sit down for 3 days and we will review the previous quarter. We will realign or prime each other on what are our goals as a company. And we will seek to invalidate everything that isn't true. And what I mean by that is, as a founder, you convince yourself you're right so many times. Mm. That's enough information, because you have to take bets. And when we're doing these strategy sessions, our goal is to kind of two things. It's to get super clear on what our goals are, and then divide and conquer. Rob Kiley, you are doing these three things next quarter that are fundamental to the business. Forget everything else. Charlie, it's the same. Ronan, the same. And that's how we do it every quarter. So we review the previous quarter. We realize, Jesus, Charlie, you only got two out of those three things. Why did that happen? It happened because I met this person and they told me I needed to do this thing. We needed to rebuild our website. I was like, oh, we need our an investor that it was is really important told me I needed to do this thing. Distraction, always pulled away. So ruthless prioritization is ultimately the goal of those sessions. And trying to be as honest with yourself as possible, which is the hardest thing. I promise, Ronan, give me 3 more months. It's going to go. I promise you. Promise you, it's going to work. Why do you think it's going to work? Make decisions on experience, not emotion. Experience of the last 3 months has proven that it won't work. If you can give me the evidence as to why 3 more months will make it work, let's go at it. I trust you with my heart. But if the experience is telling you that it won't, we need to change. And emotion is the worst thing for decision making in every sense of the word. So that's how we do it every quarter as a company. And we also review the way in which we do it every quarter, because it's never going to be perfect. And we try and tweak it and we bring in different advisors and stuff. But that's the way that we do it now. But that's years down the line and constantly seeking improved ways of doing things.
I love it. What is the future for Bounce? Like, because you've gone a long way in a very short space of time. When we're sitting down here in, say, 2 years again, what's going to have happened?
We had our strategy day about a month ago. So good timing. We're in the process of what we're calling Bounce 1.0 to Bounce 2.0. And Bounce 1.0 is the 0-1 stage of the business. It's taken us about 2.5 years since we got fully up and running. That is the 0 to 1 or 2 million in revenue, the big brands, the proof of you kind of know what you're doing. It's gaining traction. To achieve the 1 to 10 million growth, or it's kind of 2 to 10, 2 to 20 million, whatever, that next stage of the business, we need to think about things completely differently. Because if you apply your learnings from a market like Ireland or the UK and assume that those learnings are going to be the same to build a global business, it's going to be really difficult. So we built this document called the Bounce 1.0 to the Bounce 2.0. And it's, what is this? And it's almost like having a funeral for Bounce 1.0 in a way. And then it's looking at Bounce 2.0. The next 2 years are going to be completely fundamental for our business. I'm moving to London. I'm setting up our London office. The goal is 12 months from now, is all going well, that I'll then move to New York and set up our New York office and try and build these satellite hubs in the areas where brands are most prominent. I would adore if as many employees that are currently with us are still with us. That's a huge thing that's important to me. I love people being on the journey. The experiences I share with them are really important to me. I hope we can continue to be a good company. We have like things that measure what a good company is. And
what's a good company?
A good company for the people. So it's people, people, product and profit in that order, I believe is one of the phrases. So I want the people that if Bounce blew up in a year's time, that they said that was the best experience of their life. And that they independently have accelerated growth in their individual development or their career developments than they ever would have gotten in another company. That's what I seek. I fail at it, but I can seek, I can strive for the ultimate goal. There's many other things that make a good company, of which I'm still trying to figure out. But for the people, that's really important to me, that I'll try and benefit for. And what that means is I will never pursue unnecessary growth and compromise on the people. I talk about for that myself. I do not work longer than 10, 11 hour days ever. Ever.
It's a rule. No longer than 12 hours.
No. And that's like with a lunch break. I'm not like, I don't work evenings. I start earlier. I have my lunch break. I'd never work in the meeting. If any founder tried to have a meeting on the weekend, any employee, I would be here, not the employee for us. It's the type of business I want to build.
Love
it's my
it.
Company. I decide to run it that way. If you're an investor who wants me to work 120 hour weeks, burn my relationship with my family and friends, I'm not going to do it. So that's just how I am. So that's the type of company we try and build.
I respect that a lot, because I think that's the modern entrepreneur. I talk about this a lot. I feel in my core there's a shift. It's probably a shift in my own bias, but I feel that there's a shift in entrepreneurship, that the old model of like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to grind it out for the next 10 years and then I'm going to sell. And a lot of stuff you've said have kind of rang true, so my biases are in full swing here today.
Yeah, but I'm 25, right? And what is, as an investor, what I would say to them is, what's going to get me to build Bounce for the next 10 years?
Mm.
Is it working on weekends, or is it allowing me to have holidays? Is it allowing me to have the weekends I want? I was at All Together Now last weekend, had one of the best weekends of my life. Imagine an investor going, you need to work through the weekend. No. But what's going to cause me to go 5 years longer? So longer time horizons, and how we believe you do that is, so that's the reason for like long time horizons, but also look at it from an employee's point of view. We had that model of clarity of goal, autonomy and execution, consistency of feedback to that person. If that person is tired, run down, they're not going to make good decisions, which means they will not hit their goal. I will not trust them to hit their goals because I'm watching them make poor decisions. Poor decisions come from sleep deprivation, overly stressed, all that sort of stuff. So it's really, really important to me. So sorry, I'm derailing from your question, but in 2 years' time, I hope that we are much bigger, of course. How much bigger? I don't know. I'm going to be as big as I possibly can. I will want to be as global and as world-class product as I possibly can. And I hope to continue our DNA as being a disruptor and to be a person who is customer-obsessed and competitor-aware. I want to be obsessed with the industry. I want to disrupt it. I want to continue listening to customers. And I want to continue growing at as fast a pace as possible while protecting what's important to me.
If you enjoyed that chat with Charlie, I guarantee you loved the whole conversation. So go back to episode 294 or click the link in the description below.